Good day. My name is Maureen. I'll be reading the issue of the Iroquois Times Republic for the week of October 24th. There are a number of articles on the front page. The top one is titled, Candidates Pick Up Petitions for April 1st Consolidated Election. While the November 5th election is getting most of the attention, there are local people who are preparing for the April 1st consolidated election. Seats for village, city, township, park, library, fire, school boards, community colleges, and regional boards of school trustees will be up for election in the April 1st election. Prospective candidates can file their petitions November 12th to 18th. In Watseka, Mayor John Allhands confirmed this week that he will not be seeking re-election. Two people have picked up petitions for mayor in Watseka. They are Scott Anderson and Benny Marcier. Anderson has issued a press release stating he is seeking the mayoral seat. Ward 1 Alderman Brandon Bergery has also announced he will not be seeking re-election in April. Petitions for Watseka city offices can be picked up at either City Hall or the County Clerk's office. At City Hall, the following people have picked up petitions. Mayor Benny Marcier, Ward 1 Mark Garfield, Ward 2 Charles DeWitt and Dennis Cahoe, Ward 3 Jenny Lahar and Phil Goja, Ward 4, Nick Shervino and Todd Oster. Petitions for Watseka seats picked up at the county clerk's office include Anderson, who at the time of pickup asked for alderman and mayor, Michael Lenz for alderman, Ward 2, and Bridge C. Tobeck for Ward 4 alderman. Other petitions picked up at the county clerk's office for other communities include Tim Kahn, Thawville, Highway Commissioner Julie Dunn, Watseka, Unit 9 School Board, Darren Christensen, Crescent City, CI Fire Protection District Jonathan Carter, Crescent City Mayor Ronnie Williams, Donovan, Village President Paul McTaggart, Watseka Supervisor Eric Morales, Woodland, Village President or Trustee, and a number of others. It is not a requirement to sign a petition sheet when picking up a petition, there could be more people who have picked up a petition that are not listed. Some people may elect to not turn in a petition at the filing period. Next article, a walk through history. The evening of Sunday, October 13th, you may have been one of several who passed Maple Grove Cemetery and thought you saw the ghost of a young bride. Believe it or not, you did. Clara Runner was one of several who took part in Iroquois County Genealogical Society cemetery walk that evening. Clara portrayed Lucy, a child bride married to the much older Johnny. She did not realize she had died on her wedding day and she had spent her afterlife searching for her husband. Lucy and Johnny's story isn't a true story, but the other stories shared during the cemetery walk were factual. Walkers, those who walked through the cemetery, included Roger Burns, Eileen Smith, Dylan Hendry, and Michaela Weber. Gravediggers were Chris Butler and Tyler Runner. Greeters at the cemetery gate were Eilert and Mary Bohr, and guides for groups of guests were Connie Block, Jennifer Hendry, Nancy Heinrichs, Ginny Lee, and Denise Harwood. Earl Kroll and Eileen Burns told the story of a man murdered by his ex-wife and her boyfriend. The murder trial was one of the most bizarre and widely publicized in Iroquois County. There are a number of other stories in this article. It's fairly lengthy. If there's time at the end, I will come back and read some of these, as they do appear to be interesting. The next article is about donations. two groups were awarded donations from the Watseka City Council October 22nd. The council approved $75,000 for the Watseka Family Festival and $25,000 Iroquois Memorial Hospital. Mike Tilstra, CEO of IMH, spoke to the council about the physical therapy center being planned. He said, "Thank you for considering this opportunity for us to build a physical therapy building. It will mean a lot for the hospital, and I think it will mean a lot to the community." He noted that he was representing both the hospital and the hospital's development council. He said Jennifer Nasters is the chairman of the development council. She was present along with several department council members. He continued, "We are trying to grow the hospital. We brought back urology and gynecology and several services that were not there just a few years ago while we approached the federal government for critical access and anything we can do to grow the hospital. We're back to 24-hour cardiology. We hope to rebuild orthopedics. And even this year, we're hoping to get back into OB. We won't rebuild the whole OB department, but we do want to work with another hospital to provide OB at least for the first two trimesters and then have patients be able to be seen after that. We have a pretty aggressive agenda of rebuilding the hospital and making it what we believe it once was or can be for the future of healthcare. The current building that housed our physical therapy we felt was just not satisfactory. It had a lot of needs, and it was an industrial-type building. Frankly, we just didn't need it. It was probably 20-some thousand square feet, and we need about 6 or 7 for physical therapy. We have now moved home health, hospice, and our billing office back into the hospital. That's just more efficient. They operate better in the hospital than on the other side of town, behind other buildings. We're in much better shape having done that, but in the end, we need top-quality physical therapy. That means a lot to healthcare with critical access. We are hoping we can do a lot more with physical therapy." He said the hope is that the physical therapy building would allow for extended hours for that service. The proposed therapy building has a fundraising goal of $2.5 million. The Development Council is asking for donors, and the council agreed 8-0 to donate $25,000 for the diamond level one-time donation. The council also approved the $75,000 donation to the Watseka Family Festival, 8-0. Some festival members were in attendance, but no presentation was given. At a city committee meeting, the festival committee had provided information about the festival, noting that it's grown with attendance up a new carnival show and other events. The festival committee is also working on Winterfest, which will be November 29th in downtown. There was some discussion about donating $50,000 this year, which is budgeted, and then adding more after the new budget goes into effect next spring. It was noted that the new budget would be for the festival in 2025 already. Committee member Sean Peters said they're looking at other funding ideas as well, reaching out to county, state, and federal opportunities for funding. Alderman Brandon Berigree said the festival is the biggest event in the city each year and it's continuing to expand. He believes the city should donate more. In the end, it helps our city. The Watseka Community High School National Honor Society is inviting veterans to the Veterans Day breakfast on November 11th. They ask for RSVPs by October 30th. The National Honor Society members also invite the community to attend the Veterans Day Assembly, which will begin at 9 a.m. on November 11th. The last headline article is titled, "Iroquois County Sheriff's Office Awarded Roth ID Tag Kits." An online campaign in September has helped the Iroquois County Sheriff's Department get identification tags to give to the community. The Roth ID Tag, an emergency identification system, conducted an online community partner grand giveaway. The event allowed people to nominate a local organization to register as a community partner, and then those partners campaigned for votes online. In all, there were 18 organizations winning a number of the ID tag kits. The Sheriff's Department was a gold prize winner, receiving 100. According to the company's website, the tag program was created after Julie Roth was traveling with her two small children on the Ohio Turnpike when they were involved in part of a 47-plus vehicle pileup. She and her unborn child did not survive. The two young children were injured and waited for many hours as emergency responders worked to identify them and contact their father. The tags are an identification system that can be attached to a product used by child or adults, such as a car seat. The Sheriff's Department has been distributing the tags at local events, such as the county fair. Elks Lodge 1791 will host its annual Bingo for Cancer Fighters Saturday, November 9th at the Lodge in Watsika, also known as Booby Bingo, in honor of October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Funds are raised and donated to families in Iroquois County who are affected by the financial strains cancer can cause. Elks members are proud of the number of people they've been able to help with financial assistance the past 12 years and look forward to this year's 13th annual event. The first year of this event, the group donated to Relay for Life. Over the past 11 years, 123 families in Iroquois County have been assisted as Elks have raised over $81,000. In order to make this year even better, Elks members are asking individuals, groups, organizations, and businesses to donate and help with the mission. Any amount earned will help a family relieve the financial burden cancer causes. Also native will be items which can be used to make drawing prizes. Monetary donations can be sent to the Elk Lodge or dropped off at 111 North 3rd in Watsika. Names of donors will be recognized and thanked at the event. Tickets are on sale now as they are being sold pre-sold, and no one without a ticket will be allowed at the event. Ticket holders must be 18 years of age or older. Doors will open at 4, with games starting at 7. The United Women in Faith of the United Methodist Church of Crescent City will host a rummage and bake sale at the church on Union Street. The sale will be noon to 5 p.m. Thursday, November 7th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Friday, November 8th, 8 to noon, and Saturday will feature a bag sale. United Women in Faith is a nonprofit group which raises funds to pay their pledge to the Illinois Great Rivers Conference. The rummage sale will include clothing and coats in all sizes for children, men, and women, lots of household miscellaneous, seasonal decorations, books, shoes, linens, and much more. The bake sale will take place each day with goodies available each day until gone. From Springfield, Senator Bennett needs your help. With Veterans Day approaching on November 11th, State Senator Tom Bennett is asking residents to honor family members or friends who are veterans as part of a memorial display in the Illinois State Capitol. According to information from Bennett, the Illinois State Republican Caucus is once again hosting their annual Veterans Day Wall of Honor display in the rotunda of the Illinois Capitol from November 11th to November 25th. The memorial will feature a large electronic display of veterans and their stories, along with a wall where visitors can write notes to those who served. I want to make sure that we recognize the brave men and women who have served our country, said Senator Bennett. We are able to live in a free country because of the bravery and sacrifice of our veterans. Senator Bennett is encouraging friends and family to submit a photo and short story about their veterans by November 8th so the information can be given as part of the Veterans Day Wall of Honor display. Through the ongoing support of Iroquois Memorial Hospital auxiliary fundraisers each year, this group is able to give back to Iroquois Memorial Hospital departments when needs arise. Most recently, they donated equipment to the IMH lab and the Iroquois resident home, according to a news release. The IMH lab requested funding when they were in need of a new urine microscope. Having different types of microscopes to study specific specimens, like urine and blood, makes their job much easier. The Iroquois resident home also reached out asking for assistance from the auxiliary in purchasing a new lift razor sit-to-stand machine. This machine helps patients who need extra assistance go from sitting to standing with the touch of a button. Since their previous one is no longer working properly, it became a challenge helping those patients do just that. After careful consideration and an unanimous auxiliary board vote, both of the requested items were purchased and presented to the two departments, who were both very grateful. On October 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Iroquois County Sheriff and the Drug Enforcement Administration will host DEA's National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day at locations across the country. DEA and its partners will collect tablets, capsules, patches, and other solid forms of prescription drugs, according to a news release. For more than a decade, the event has helped Americans easily rid their homes of unneeded medications. Those that are old, unwanted, or expired, they too often become a gateway to addiction. Take Back Day offers free and anonymous disposal of unneeded medications at close to 5,000 local drop-off locations nationwide. In Iroquois County, the Take Back Day will be from 10 to 2 October 26th at the west door of the Iroquois County Jail. In partnership with local law enforcement, Take Back Day has removed 9,200-some tons of medication from circulation since its inception. The collection sites cannot accept syringes, sharps, and illicit drugs. Liquid products such as cough syrup should remain sealed in their original container. The obituaries begin with the Doris I. McFatridge Terry, 96 years of age, of Pine Valley, passed away in Lafayette on October 19th. Friends may call at the Moss Funeral Home in Attica on Friday, October 25th, from 11 a.m. until the service at 1 p.m. Burial will follow in the Mound Cemetery, south of Pine Village. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Pine Village Bible Church. Dolores K. Stanton, 82 years of age, in Middlebury, passed away on October 13th, 2024. Services to honor and celebrate her life will be held at Farrand Funeral Home in White Pigeon, Michigan. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that contributions be made to the Constantine United Methodist Church or the Center for Hospice in Elkhart, Indiana. Phyllis Finnegan, 84 years of age, of Remington, passed away peacefully on Friday, October 18th at St. Anthony's Rehab in Lafayette. Friends may call from 10 a.m. Eastern Time until the time of the scripture service at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, October 23rd at Stitz Clapper Funeral Home of Remington. Interment will follow. Memorial contributions may be made in Phyllis's name to a charity of your choice. Janet Wilhite, 68 years of age, of Goodland, passed away October 18th. A visitation will be held Friday, October 25th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Funeral services will be Saturday, 11 a.m., CST Funeral Home with Rick Gertz officiating. Janet will be laid to rest at Riverside Cemetery in Brook following funeral services. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions can be made to either the Mount Zion United Methodist Church in Kentland, Indiana, or the Victorious Life Assembly of God located in Goodland, Indiana. Thomas I. Hall, Sr., 89 years of age, of Clearwater, Florida, formerly of Monticello, passed away peacefully October 3rd, 2024. A celebration of life funeral mass will be held Wednesday, November 27th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time at Our Lady of the Lakes Catholic Church of Monticello. Donations may be given to the AMD Macular Degeneration Research Foundation. Rosica Roth and Clapper Funeral Home, Monticello, is in charge of arrangements. Louis Leroy Johnson, 88 years of age, of Thawville, passed away October 17th at home. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, October 22nd. I believe that's past. From 9 till 11. Memorials may be made to Onarga Christian Church, Ark of Iroquois County, or the Down Syndrome Foundation in Morton, Illinois. Arrangements are by Knapp Redenius Funeral Home in Gilman. Janet M. Mauck, M-A-U-C-K, 71 years of age, of Wolcott, passed away October 18th. Visitation will be held on October 24th from 10 a.m. to noon, Central Time, at Jackson Funeral Chapel of Rensselaer, followed by funeral service at noon Central Time. Interment will take place at Memory Gardens in Rensselaer. Memorial contributions may be made to the Lafayette Civic Theater in her honor. Announcement: the Rensselaer Senior Center will offer a free afternoon musical event on Friday, November 1st at 12:15. Experience the musical talent of Acoustic Collection, a group that not only plays a variety of musical instruments but shares a collection of bluegrass tunes. The group consists of well-known area musicians Carl and Cindy Ward and Tim Warren. John Rothenberger and Charlie Detmer joined the group with talent and experience in bluegrass music, makes a great combination. Acoustic Collection provides the bluegrass sound enjoyed by music lovers everywhere. Bluegrass music has been a longtime favorite of the community. The upbeat selections and the comforting sounds of instruments and songs make for a music opportunity for everyone. Call the center as soon as possible if you wish to attend lunch that will be served at 11:30. You do not need to be over 60 for lunch. Concert is open to everyone. There will be afternoon fall refreshments and a door prize of a beautiful fall basket. An article regarding energy assistance. The FACE Center in DeMotte and the Rensselaer Senior Center will provide information and discussion on the Energy Assistance Program, which begins November 1st and continues through April 15th. An informational meeting will be held at the FACE Center on Sunday, November 3rd at 11:45 a.m. The Rensselaer Senior Center will host a meeting on Monday, November 4th at 11:45 a.m. I just put them. Jasper County Community Services serves as one of the Area 1 intake sites for this federally funded program through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services called the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. The Energy Assistance Program assists families and individuals with the cost of heating homes and apartments based upon eligibility. EAP can assist in paying heat and electrical bills. This also includes heating through bulk fuels. This one-time annual benefit can help with the excessive cost of home energy and may help if you are nearing a disconnect. The program does not pay all your annual heating and electric costs. Applicants are encouraged to continue to pay bills regularly. Those that applied for the program last year should have received an application from Jasper County Community Services to apply for assistance this year. New applicants can call and request an application at any JCCS Senior Center or pick up an application at the DeMotte or Rensselaer locations. There are no walk-in appointments. Applications can be returned by mail, dropped at the offices, or placed in the secure lockboxes located in front of the Rensselaer building. There's an article regarding Social Security. If you're retired or planning to retire soon, it's important to have a plan for your retirement income. For most people, Social Security will play a significant role in the plan, so staying up to date on the latest benefits information is crucial. The Social Security Administration recently announced several key changes to the program for 2025, including its annual cost of living adjustment. Here are some key changes to Social Security happening next year and what you need to know. This year's cost of living adjustment is lower than last year's at 3.2%. Still, any additional income is a welcome boost for beneficiaries who live on fixed incomes. Number one, cost of living adjustment rises. The SSA has announced that benefit checks will rise 2.5% in 2025. That 2.5% adjustment will amount to an average increase of $50 in monthly benefits for retired workers on Social Security beginning in January. Specifically, the average check for retired workers will increase from 1927 to 1976. The second change is maximum Social Security benefit set to increase. That maximum benefit for a worker retiring at full retirement age will increase from $3,822 in 2024 to $4,018 in 2025. This maximum applies to those retiring at the full retirement age, which is 67, for anyone born after 1960. The maximum benefit will be lower for those who retire before the full retirement age because benefits are reduced in such cases. The fourth change, average benefit will increase across the board in 2025, and that includes benefits for people such as widows, widowers, and the disabled. The averages are given on the website, or they are noted in this article for all of those conditions. The fifth change, Social Security adjusts earnings test exempt amounts. If you receive Social Security retirement benefits before reaching full retirement age, the program may reduce your benefits if your earnings exceed certain limits. This is known as the retirement earnings test, and it can claim a serious chunk of your benefits if you're still working. In 2025, the retirement earnings test exempt amounts can be found on the website. Alliance Bank supports veterans with Casual for a Cause. Christina Lovelace shared through choked up tears, "We cannot wait any longer to provide this healing space for our veterans. We did 34 suicide interventions last year. That's more than triple the number I've experienced in any previous year. We will move veterans into restoring hope before the end of 2025. The organization is sponsoring the Mary T. Klinker Veterans Resource Center, serving veterans since 2010. This is the start of a 5-year plan for MTK to have beds for 100 veterans to come and heal at any given time in the region. The Alliance Bank team presented Christina with a donation of $2,400 for the Restoring Hope facility. A short article about the campaign. In the final weeks of the presidential campaign, each side is scouring swing states to get as many voters as possible, including on college campuses. But in some of those crucial states, students face new barriers to casting their ballots. North Carolina election officials are for the first time enforcing a 2018 voter ID law in a general election this November, following court entanglements that had put the law on hold. Students recently found out they could not use their digital college IDs, which is stored on their cell phone. Campuses are assisting students to overcome these barriers that they're finding in different states. Add the complexity of last-minute changes to election laws, including an increasing number of states implementing voter ID, the confusion can hurt participation. Participation among voters between 18 to 29 skyrocketed to 50% in the 2020 presidential election. But the center's polling shows that young people still face formidable structural barriers. Every state has work to do to make voting more inclusive for young people, but they are optimistic. This concludes reading this week's edition of the paper. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the rest of your week.